Here's the dilemma. Think about it. If Jesus Christ doesn't bear your sin, and you don't turn to Him for the forgiveness of your sin, well, let me ask you this. Then how do you deal with sin in your life? You've got to have an answer. How do you deal with sin in your life if you refuse to come to Christ and accept the fact that He paid for it? How do you deal with it? Reality is there's life, death, and judgment. That's reality.
Welcome to In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. John the Baptist called Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. On today's program, Dr. Stanley explains what Christ accomplished in His death and resurrection and how your life can be transformed as a result. Here's part one of Bearing the Greatest Burden.
What is the heaviest burden that you've ever borne in your life? Now, most of you'd have to stop and think about that for a few moments, but some of you could think immediately, I remember exactly what it was. It can be one of a number of things. You had the greatest opportunity in your life, you made the wrong decision, and you missed it. You had an automobile accident, your best friend got killed, you can't ever get over it. You had an abortion, and you still regret it and always will. It was a time when you had lots of wealth, you lost it all because you gambled it away. And then God called you to preach the gospel to serve Him in some fashion, and you decided and said no, and have been happy ever since. Wonderfully married, lovely family, lovely children. You walked away because you thought there was something better, and now you don't have either one. What is the greatest burden of all? The greatest burden of all is not any of these things that we mentioned, though that's a great burden. The greatest burden of all has to do with our sin. And all of us have experienced sin in our life, so all of us have had to bear the burden of sin. And so as you think about your life and what's been going on and how far you are along in life, maybe you had dreams and ideas and you had maybe some kind of dreams in your life that you thought could never happen, and now they're moving right along, and somehow you seemingly are doing that without God, and everything seems to be just fine. What a deception, because you see, the truth is, every single one of us have to give an account to God, very evident from the Scripture that we do. And so what we do is we just move along in deception, thinking everything is going along really well. So I want you to think about this passage of Scripture, because in this passage of Scripture is the most important truth in all the Word of God, no matter where you go. And somebody would say, well, it's the most important truth is heaven, or the most important truth is this, that, and so forth. But here is the most important truth. Now, what is the greatest burden? Here it is. The greatest burden that mankind bears is simply this. It's the sin and the consequences of that sin in our life. That's the greatest burden of all. And while a person may not feel that, because we said, what is a burden? A burden is a weight. It's an emotional weight. Sin is a very deceptive burden. And while a person on the outside may appear to be doing well, deep down inside, the very nature of guilt and sin is that it's inescapable. The very presence and the very essence and the very character of sin and guilt is destructive. It wears away at your body, it wears away at your soul, wears away at your mind, fragments your thinking. And no matter what the person may do, it may be all the prominence and prestige that the world can offer, it may be alcohol, sex, drugs, whatever it may be, you cannot escape the burden of sin and its consequences. And many people who say, I don't believe any of that, when they lie down at night, look up in the night, and it's just themselves, they somehow deep down inside know that there's something beyond what they're willing to admit. So what are these consequences? I want you to think about it for a moment and think about how heavy this has to weigh. And the first is this, is the bondage of sin. I want to name four. Four consequences of living without Christ. Here they are. First of all, living in bondage. If a person says, well, I'm not in bondage. Ask most any alcoholic or most any person who is addicted to drugs or sex. And if you ask them, are you in bondage? Well, certainly not. I can stop this anytime I want to. That's why all of these rehabilitation places are so full of people who said they weren't in bondage until they get absolutely so desperate, then they have to finally confess that something's not right in their life. And so one of the burdens of the consequences of sin is bondage. A second one is this. Not only is there bondage, but there's this whole issue in a person's life that oftentimes we don't want to admit, and that is this separation from God. Sin separates us from God. There isn't anything in this life worth making me feel separated from Him. Now, while I know that once you're saved, you're not ever separated, but a lost person is separated from God. And so the very idea of being separated from God, and the Scripture is very clear. There are lots of verses we could turn to, for example, when the Scripture talks about our sin has separated us from God. And when you think about being separated from Him, if a person's not spiritually minded, that doesn't faze them. But if you are a believer, you desire the will of God in your life, and you're trying to walk a godly life. When sin enters your life as a Christian, if you can stand it and it doesn't bother you, you need to stop and ask yourself the question, am I really saved? God hates it. God hates every form of sin, and here's the reason He does. Because He sees what it does to His children. Look at what's happening to millions and millions of people who are misled, believe all kinds of error, living in all kinds of bondage in their life. They don't understand what in the world's going on, but they're not happy. They're not successful. It takes more than money and pleasure and prestige and prominence to make a person successful. And so what happens? They're living separated from God. And we see a person who is without Christ is separated from God because that's what sin does. And all the denial in the world does not change that. Sin is a separator. It separates families. It separates friends. But sin, most of all, separates us from God. And, for example, when you turn to Ephesians, look in Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment, and notice what Paul said about this whole idea of sin and how it affects their life. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That is, that's what sin does. It deadens us to the things of God. It destroys our spirit. And so once a person chooses to live a godless life, what they're saying is, I choose to live dead to spiritual things. That's why when a person is saved by the grace of God, what happens? We're transformed. Salvation brings us into a relationship with God. Our spirit comes alive. Now we can talk to Him and relate to Him and have a relationship with Him. He says, in which, dead in trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh in the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. So two things I want you to notice. Sin is a separated. Absolutely, your spirit cannot relate to God until that spirit is made alive by the Holy Spirit. Dead in trespasses and sins. And notice this, notice what he says. He says, not only that, but he says, by nature, the children of wrath, even as the rest. Now, what's the wrath of God? Because this is the third. Look, first of all, there's the bondage of sin, separation from God, and there's the wrath of God. If you said to one of your lost friends, do you realize you're living under the wrath of God? Here's what they'd say. Well, who are you to judge me? You're not judging them because they would probably say, oh, I believe lots of parts of the Bible, but I don't believe that part about wrath. What I do is I live with the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount. Let me tell you something. There are no two passages of Scripture in the Bible more condemning the way people live than those two passages. And they say, well, that's the two I believe. Then you just condemned yourself. Listen to what he says, for example. In John chapter 3, we all love John 3:16, for God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him have eternal life and never perish. We love those verses, and I too love them. And I too believe that one of the most awesome beliefs in the Bible, ideas of the Scripture, principles of the Word of God is His unconditional love for us. But if I reject it, Also, there's a principle that says, whatever I sow, I reap. What I sow, more than I sow, later than I sow. Listen to John chapter 3, verse 36. After Jesus has talked to Nicodemus, and now he's coming down to the end, listen to what he says. Verse 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son, which is meaning to believe in Him, will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, here is the condition of a lost person. Here is the burden a lost person is dealing with. They're in bondage to sin. We say, well, I'm not a sex addict. I'm not into alcohol. I'm not into drugs. I'm not into all of this kind of thing. What do you mean I'm in bondage? You can be in bondage to pride. You can be in bondage to what you're seeking in life. If it's prominence and prestige, your wealth, you can be in bondage to anything. All of us are in bondage to something unless Jesus Christ is living and ruling and reigning in our life. So bondage is one thing. Separation from God. For example, somebody says, well, but I'm not a Christian, but I can pray and God hears my prayers. No, He doesn't. Well, how can you be so prideful and egotistical and arrogant to tell me that God doesn't answer my prayer? I'm not being either one of those three things. I'm just telling you what God says. He will not hear the prayers of the wicked unless the prayer of the wicked is a prayer of confession and repentance toward God. Why? This is the thing the world doesn't want to understand, that sin by its nature separates me from a holy God who says He hates sin. He does not hate the sinner. He hates sin, hates everything about sin because it destroys so much and it destroys His children. That's why He hates it. And so the wrath of God is God's hatred and anger and animosity, listen, toward those things that are ungodly. Does He hate the sin in us? Yes. Does He love us at the same time? Yes. If you're saved by the grace of God and you sin against Him, are you lost? No. Eternal salvation does not rest upon my conduct. Eternal salvation rests upon our relationship with Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm saved by His grace and goodness and love and mercy and kindness. I'm not saved by them and kept by myself. We are to live a righteous life and a holy life before Him, but we don't keep saved by our conduct. Here's the burden of the bondage of sin, our separation from God. Listen to what He says in this passage. He says, but the wrath of God abides on this person who does not believe in Jesus. That means hovering over them. Listen, hovering over them is God's judging hand. Is it because He wants to? No. Is it because He desires that? No. Is it because He likes that? No. Is it because He takes pleasure in that? No. It is because, listen, the threat of the judgment of God should lead people to repentance. And also the Bible says the kindness of God leads people to repentance. But there's one other part of this burden, and that's simply this. That is eternal death. In Revelation chapter 20, He talks about the second death. And the second death is eternal death. We die physically, but if a person dies spiritually forever, it is the second death. And He says, those who die the second death are cast into the lake of fire. Somebody says, I don't believe any of that hell stuff. Let me just say this. You may not believe it. That does not change it. You may not believe in God. That does not eradicate God. We're living in a day, and I picked up this magazine yesterday in a store, and just reading the letters responding to an article in the magazine a few months ago, and people writing their editorial letters in what they thought. It was very interesting to me that you could tell where people were coming from. Some of them were very, very belligerent because the very idea that Christians or some religious people could tell them how to live, or even suggest that they, for example, were sinners or whatever it might be. It was just real interesting that you could just feel the kind of resistance and rebellion toward the whole Christian faith, and not just the Christian faith, but other religions also. You're telling me how I ought to live. You know what the issue is? People have their own idea of what God's like. They've already decided in their mind, this is the kind of God I'm going to serve. This is who I believe God is. When you say, well, what's the basis of that? Well, listen, when you decide who God is like and you put aside the Word of God, there is no way for you to ever come up to what He's like. Why? Because the most wonderful things in the Word of God did not come from man. Man could not have written this book he would not if he could have, and he could not if he would have, for the simple reason the truth of the Word of God is so totally antagonistic against the world's ideas of God. They see Him as a God of judgment and a God of condemnation. They don't see Him as a God of love and goodness and mercy, and with that mercy must come justice. Because you see, here's how mixed up the world is. They want God to be all love, no condemnation, no judgment. Do you know what kind of world we'd live in? It would be unsafe to go out of your house and unsafe in your house if all the doors were locked and you had an alarm system on. If there's no judgment, no condemnation of sin, God's all love, treats everybody just wonderfully well, no matter how they live, this is the issue with mankind. They don't want you to tell them about consequences. Tell me about pleasure. Tell me about the goodness of God, but don't tell me about any consequences of my ungodly living, because it makes me uncomfortable and I don't want to hear about it. And the deception is that people get along so well, they don't think it's true. Until they're sick and on their deathbed, they've lost everything. The family's walked away. One of these burdens we had talked about in the very beginning, they don't want to. I don't want to believe it. They just think about this. Living in bondage to sin, separated from the very God who created you and for His purpose for your life, living under the wrath of God every single day of your life, and with your destined future to be eternally separated from Him forever and ever and ever. That's what hell is all about. Whatever may be true of hell, eternal separation from God. Let's say, for example, that you deeply, deeply love your husband, wife, or you love somebody very, very deeply. And you understand what unconditional love is like between the two of you. And all of a sudden, that person's gone. And you will never see them as long as you live. And even after you die, you'll never see them. That's it. You think that could happen to you and you say, well, you know, let's just move on in life. No, you couldn't. Genuine love glues people, seals them. It just makes everything solid between them and fills them up. And you think for that person to suddenly disappear, never see them again as long as you live, that wouldn't bother you? Think about the God who created you, who's planned the very best this all-wise God knows how to plan for you. And then you ignore Him in your life, reject Him in your life, and then to be eternally separated from Him. Because in that moment of separation, you will know who He's like and what you missed. That's what the judgment of the wicked's all about. When you and I stand before the judgment, God's not going to bring up all of our past sins and let's see if the good outweighs the bad. That's not the judgment of God. When you and I come into the judgment throne, it's the judgment of rewards. God rewarding us for the good He's seen in our life, having accepted Him as our Savior. For the wicked in the great white throne judgment has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with the degree of punishment a person experiences for all eternity because they deliberately, willfully separated themselves from God. Now somebody says, what about those people who haven't heard and all this, that, and the other? I got a whole other sermon on that, but let me just say this. One thing you can be sure of, God makes no mistakes. He knows everything. He's sovereign. He's not going to be unjust. God is not unjust. He's absolutely just in all that He does.
You're listening to In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you still bear the burden of your own sin. Accept Christ's sacrifice on your behalf and joyfully receive the forgiveness of God. You can learn more about that at intouch.org. And Dr. Stanley continues his message, Bearing the Greatest Burden, next weekend. The Bible gives us clear direction for living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. If you need help with parenting, finances, relationships, learning to pray, or sharing your faith, visit us at intouch.org. And you can order a copy of today's complete message online. The title is Bearing the Greatest Burden. It's also available as part of Dr. Stanley's How to Release Your Burdens teaching set. Our web address again is intouch.org, or call 1-800-INTOUCH. You can also write to us at In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. Brokenness sounds like something to be avoided, but Dr. Stanley explains how it matures us and equips us. That's coming up in today's Moment with Charles Stanley.
Sin is the most destructive force in all the world, carrying men to eternal separation from God. And Jesus is the most precious life ever lived, man's only hope of redemption from sin.
The cross restores us and secures peace for eternity. Dr. Stanley explores how in his three-part audio series, The Cross, Your Hope. Order The Cross, Your Hope at intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. We all need reminders, and sometimes a sticky note is just the thing.
People I need to pray for.
A few things to pick up at the store.
Our encouragement sticky notes provide room to write, plus a pre-printed reflection from Dr. Stanley's encouragement series. Get a free pack of 60 encouragement sticky notes with 15 unique phrases when you visit intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. How can brokenness actually help a Christian become strong? Here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
Many emails we receive at InTouch are from people whose lives are filled with pain, fear, and regret. These Christians want to overcome their problems and addictions. They want to walk away from sin. They want to be free in Christ and used by God to help others. Brokenness is the key to getting past the want-to stage and really living the life that God intends for us. We get all kind of emails, as we said, and I want to read just a couple, if I might. This is from a young lady named Phyllis. She writes, "Since I asked God to come into my life, it's been filled with pain and suffering. I know God is using these trials to make me stronger, but sometimes I wonder if it's strengthening or if it's just pure punishment." A second email is from Carol, and she says, "I've been praying for God to show me His plans for my life, but so much is distracting me from hearing Him. The enemy keeps reminding me of my past failures. I don't know where I fit in this life. Help me to understand what's going on." Well, it appears the breaking process is taking place in both of their lives. And so somebody says, well, what is this breaking issue? Doesn't the Bible talk about being made whole? Yes, it does. But the breaking process is God's method of dealing with the self life. You say, well, what's the self life? The self life is that desire to act independently of God. When you and I begin to act independently of God, what happens? All kinds of things begin to develop in our life. Then all of a sudden we find ourselves struggling where we shouldn't be struggling. And what God is up to is this, bringing us to the realization in our life that we're to depend upon Him. And for that to happen, we must come to the place where we genuinely feel we need Him and He's the only answer to our situation and circumstance. Now, there are lots of people who are strong enough in their own strength and their own determination to keep fighting it out. But you know what happens? Even in the end, when they think they've won the battle and they've overcome some particular circumstance, they're still lacking in peace, joy, happiness, contentment, and security. They're not there. They've struggled, they've overcome, they think, but the truth is they've missed what God's purpose is. You see, God wants to release His Holy Spirit in your life and mine. And so therefore, He must deal with the self life. As long as I think that I can handle it, and as long as I will attempt this and attempt that and go to this situation, that circumstance, talk to this person, try a little bit of this, drink a little bit of that, have this kind of relationship, I will not allow Him to break me. And so what does God do? He engineers the circumstances of our life to do what? To remove those things that hinder His bringing us into submission.
Life can be hard, but with Christ, it always has meaning. Visit us at intouch.org to learn more about being a Christian. A replay of today's message is available at our website. You can also find other messages in our radio archives or download a podcast to take with you. Find all this and more at intouch.org. And if today's program has motivated you to get to know Jesus better, we'd love to hear from you. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Next time, Dr. Stanley explains how Christ, the sin bearer, made it possible for us to know God. I hope you'll join us next weekend for In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through your faithful prayers and gifts.